to be honest with you, before I go into this sermon, my brain is a little kind of weird right now. My family went on a quick mini vacation to Disney World this past week. And so we spent 4 days kind of with the park hopper pass, kind of cramming all sorts of things into 4 days. And I still just feel kind of like, where am I, you know? And so I have to apologize right up front. So all being said, today is Mother's Day, and I want to share about two ladies in my life. One, of course, is my mother. And my mother is a wonderful, wonderful woman. She is interesting, to say the least. She has her own quirks and those sorts of things, as sure anybody does. But she is a wonderful woman. She is an ideal hostess. In fact, if you were to come over to her house for a meal, and I can remember this in days growing up as a child in our home, my mother would go to all sorts of lengths to make you feel welcome. She enjoyed having people in the home, and she would, when she knew that there would be company in the home, she would clean the entire house. And when I say clean the entire house, I mean clean the entire house. She would wash windows. She would scrub the corners of rooms. She would sweep steps. She would vacuum floors several times. Sometimes she would vacuum over the same space and count. And I don't really know what that did, but she just counted like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then she'd go somewhere else and just vacuum and just count. And that's just kind of a quirk that she had, okay? And so she just likes to clean. She would dust furniture. And she eventually, as we got up to age, my sister and I, we would be the dusters. Dusters of tables, end tables, and coffee tables, and different pieces of furniture, and all sorts of things. I can remember multiple times that she would be on her hands and knees scrubbing the kitchen floor, okay? And as it began time that I got of age and my sarcasm was growing just into its own, I would say, Mom, they have these things called mops, you know? And she just would not be satisfied with that. She had to clean on her hands and knees with the elbow grease that she could give it. And she would, of course, if she knew you were coming, she would clean all to that full extent. And she would go and prepare and cook the food. It would take, you know, hours that took of the preparation involved in that. She had a motto in our home that if you go home hungry, it's your dumb fault. It's your own dumb fault. And that's really, that was it. It's your own dumb fault. Like, it's not your own fault. It's your own dumb fault for going home hungry, okay? So she would prepare the food. She would serve the food. And she had this weird thing about when she served the food at home is, you know, she'd put, you know, take the scoop of whatever it was, macaroni and cheese or mashed, whatever it was, put it on your plate, and you'd say, okay, that's enough. And she'd always give you one more. Doesn't matter. She'd always give you one more. And even if you try to do a preemptive strike, I'm done early, she would still give you one more. That's just how she rolled, okay? That's how she did. And then after the meal was served and she did refills on your drinks and she served the food, we would eat the meal and spend time doing that. You could go into another room and recline and kind of sit maybe for some conversation with, you know, other members of the family, but she would stay in the kitchen and she would clean up all the leftovers, clean up the entire table, wash every dish, and just stay in the kitchen. And that's just, again, just her personality. That's just what she did. And if you said, you know, well, I have to leave shortly here, she would still finish cleaning and maybe see you out and see you off at the end of the evening. But that's just how she functions. Another woman in my life is my wife. And my wife is indeed a wonderful woman. After going close to 11 some years of being married, she is just an amazing woman. I can remember just in our early years of marriage, realizing how much I married up. I mean, I knew that at first, but in the years ahead of being married to her and realizing, you know, being married, you kind of it's like you're seeing this mirror and reflection of yourself because you see your own shortcomings in marriage, you know. And I realized how terrible I can be sometimes to deal with. And so I realized how much grace God gave to me when he gave me my wife. And I'm very thankful for her. And she, too, enjoys hosting people into our home. And when she knows that there will be company, she will clean the immediate floor, okay? She'll clean, like, the rooms that you're going to be in, okay? And she'll ask for my help on that. And so if you're not going to go upstairs, she's not going to touch that. And that's wisdom there. That's wisdom, okay? And she'll select a menu of food to cook, and she'll cook it indeed to the best of her abilities and even many times to beyond her abilities. She does that. She's good. And during the meal, she'll sit down with you and she'll enjoy good conversation. And she'll look you into the eyes and actually listen to you. And you can tell that she's genuinely interested in you and hearing what you will have to say. And after the meal is over, the food will stay on the table. Sometimes for several hours, because that means that she wants to hear from you. She wants to engage and talk and share about our lives together. And sometimes she'll share personal stories, and she has lots of them. And she'll just kind of enjoy that. And when it's time for you to leave, my wife and my four girls will tag along all the way down the hallway, see you out the door, and sometimes, going out to the driveway with you and see you and make sure you get into your car safely, okay? That's, again, my wife and kind of our family. And so the question is which of these two ladies are right? Which one is best? And the answer really is both. Neither of them is wrong. They both have unique gifts and personalities of ways of service and sharing love and fellowship with people. And I think that those two types of personalities can learn from each other. I want to look in the scriptures of that sort of relationship and dynamic today as we begin a series today called Hope for the Worried. And today's theme is hope for worried moms, hope for worried moms. As we begin this series, it's going to be a several-week series. You got a little card in your bulletin today, and it kind of shared the next several weeks of themes that are coming up throughout this series. I want to encourage you to do two things. I want to encourage you to, one is to be praying over these messages, if you will. Pray for your pastor that God's word would be on my heart and to speak appropriately to each theme and each week. To the hearts that need to hear it for those weeks. And I want to encourage you also to be praying for people that God might lead you to be inviting to the different weeks in each of these, in this series. And just to take action on that, okay? And so I want to encourage you for that. But as we begin today's message, Hope for the Worried, Hope for Worried Moms, I want to encourage you to invite you to follow along with me in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Some of you members and regular tenders might say, well, Pastor, you preached through the book of Luke all last year, and now you're returning to it. I promise, I did not cover this passage last year, so I have to get back to it, okay? So I missed it somehow, and so here we are, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Read with me in God's Word together. Now as they went on their way, they being Jesus and the disciples, you can see that back up in verse 23 when Jesus is turning to the disciples and he's doing some teaching here to these people. They went on their way. Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. In this passage, we see two women, two wonderful ladies, two women of God. Each of them loved Jesus, but they loved Jesus in different ways. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. It was her home. That's what the scriptures say. And I love just the kind of beginning of these couple verses that they went on their way, Jesus entered into this village. That's the type of God that we have, that Jesus enters into villages. Jesus enters into people's lives. Jesus is that type of God. He wants to have a relationship with people. And so when he walked on this earth and he lived on this earth for 33 years, he constantly has people around him. He's constantly engaging people. That's why he came, because he loves people. Jesus entered into a village, and he entered into this woman's house, into a woman named Martha. And Martha was gracious. She welcomed him into her home. She was responsible for all the necessary tasks and the upkeep of that home. In welcoming Jesus, she loved him through unceasing labor. She served Jesus through busy activities. She was doing all the preparations, all the necessary details that it took to be a wonderful and gracious hostess to Jesus. I mean, if Jesus was in your home, wouldn't you want to be a good host? I mean, that would be a good thing. And I'm sure that it took a lot of work to host Jesus. But the thing is, you're not just hosting Jesus. You're hosting Jesus and the disciples. And so there's a lot of work involved here. And Martha is being a great host in this case. There's nothing really negative per se about Martha. She has the posture of Jesus being a guest in her home. And that's a good thing. Can I, before I move on to Mary, can I say that for us today, your home can be a wonderful ministry opportunity. Your home can be a place of hospitality. Your home can be a place where the gospel is launched into your neighborhood. That's what God has called you to, is to open up your home for the gospel to go forth. And Martha did that. She opened up her home and welcomed Jesus and hosted Jesus and took care of all the needs for Jesus and the disciples, so that ministry could happen, so that fellowship and encouragement and faith strengthening could happen. Martha is that kind of lady. We kind of see her throughout the scriptures doing that sort of thing. In John chapter 12, verse 2, we see the same sort of thing where Martha is serving people and through unceasing labor. So she has this posture of Jesus being a guest, and that is a good thing. But in the contrast, we have Martha's sister, Mary. And Mary, she loved Jesus through undivided listening. She spent time in Jesus' presence, just listening and learning from Jesus. As a learner of Jesus, there would have been a lot to take in, to understand, to try to ask questions about. She likely would have pondered the spiritual truths that Jesus spoke. And Martha has this sort of posture of Jesus, not just as a guest, but as Jesus as God. Jesus as this rabbi, as this teacher, where she has to be around him and serve him through sacrifice. In fact, in this instance, she's sitting at Jesus' feet learning and just being with Jesus. In John chapter 12, where Mary is serving, where Martha is serving, Mary in John chapter 12, she is anointing Jesus' feet with this perfume, with this oil-type substance to sacrifice and do extravagant worship towards Jesus. And so these sisters are very interesting, but they're also very unique and different from one another in the way that they express their love towards Jesus. Where Martha had the posture of Jesus as a guest, which is a good thing, Mary had a posture of Jesus as being God, as a rabbi, as a teacher, which would seem to indicate in response from Jesus as being not just a good thing, but a great thing. Martha assumed that Mary's style of service was inferior. Martha asked that question to Jesus Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? And you can just hear kind of the sibling rivalry going on, you know. I have four girls, and so I'm looking at this and thinking, it doesn't get any better. It doesn't change, does it, parents, right? And so you can see these sisters kind of bantering at one another, and one thinks that the other is inferior and that they're superior towards the way that they express love towards each other. But in this, we also see this response that Jesus gives, and gives us two truths, if you will, two truths that will kind of help give some application for us, and then I'm going to flesh it out in some practical lives before us today. Jesus' response is twofold. One is this, is that worry is widespread. Worry is widespread. He says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Worry is widespread. In this world, there are many things that we are anxious and troubled over. In 21st century society, we live in a hectic and hurry-up world. We're stressed, we're depressed, we're oppressed. The overwhelming are the demands of life, of family life, of marriage, of, you know, how do you do marriage when you have multiple kids and have it be a strong and wonderful marriage. And then there's the idea of parenting kids and hoping, you know, that there's some sort of sense that comes out of that. There's the housekeeping, there's grocery lists, there's relating to people, there's church life and ministry, and all the while also trying to realize that life is about the glory of God and relating to Him too. And so worry is widespread. There's a lot of things that would weigh on our hearts in life. And Jesus in God's Word gives us a lot to understand about that. In fact, these kind of few passages that I want to share with you are going to kind of be the background or the underpinnings of this message series as a whole for the next several weeks. But listen to what Jesus says about worry being widespread. In Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God, who so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and then tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious about saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or what's on my iPod? Oh, I'm sorry, just reading there. But he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. See, God is calling us to trust a gracious Father who provides and cares for our needs. In the midst of a worried world, God is calling us to trust. Philippians 4, 4 through 8, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You see, worry is widespread, and Jesus knows that. God's aware of that, that we are tempted, we're prone to worry, and try to handle life on our own shoulders, carry the our own burdens, pick up life by our own bootstraps, right? We're prone to kind of take it all on our shoulders. But Jesus is calling us to trust, to trust. And here's what it means to trust. It's shifting the burden of things that you cannot control from you to God. There are so many things in this world that you cannot control. And you have to realize that you are not God, that God is God. And he's calling you to trust him. Shift the burden, the anxiety, the worry from you to God. Now, does it mean that you and I cannot be concerned over things and should not take attention to detail, to life, and to handling things? But the idea of worry, God is calling us to trust on him. And worry is won or lost in our worship. Are we worshiping ourselves and thinking that we are God and we have to handle and solve all the problems? Are we realizing that God is much bigger than that and that we're worshiping God? And so the question is, will we pray and trust God and seek him and seek his kingdom and his answers? Or will we fret? And I promise you, if you pray and if you trust, the Bible says the peace of God will surpass all understanding for you, and it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Worry is widespread. He says, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But he also says this. Jesus says in verse 41, he says, Martha, Martha. It's kind of like a term of endearment. He's calling her into this relationship. And you can almost hear Jesus calling your own name. Dave, Dave. Zach, Zach. Oh, Zach, Zach. No, it's, you can hear him calling your name, can't you? You can hear him just speaking to you today and just reminding you that though worry is widespread, he's calling you to see that there's a difference between good and great. He's calling you to see that you can worry and be concerned about so many things in this world, and that can be a good thing, but he says one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, the idea that something greater than what is being done before by Martha. And this will not be taken away from her. This will not be taken away from her. In other words, that rather than adding things to the list of things to do, Jesus is likely calling us to subtract some things so that we can spend time at his feet, spend time in his presence. And when we do that, we realize that Jesus is the greater prize, that his presence is our present. And that can never be lost. It can never be stolen. It can never wear out. It will never be ruined. That presence of God in your life will sustain you for everything. That he is our hope. That hope and time in his presence isn't, again, this mystical thing, this kind of abject thing, oh, I just hope things work out. No, hope is a person. It's a relationship with Christ. And Psalm 16:11 says this, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so, ladies, today I want to remind you that your identity is not in all the things that you do, but is in your relationship to God. And so I know today is Happy's Mother's Day, but in light of this, mothers, I want to also to say Happy Daughter's Day, because you are a daughter of God the Father, and that is your supreme identity. Your identity is not in being mom, but is being a daughter of God. So Happy Mother's Day and Happy Daughter's Day. At this time, I'm going to ask a few ladies. I had invited some ladies, Miss Stephanie, Miss Danielle, and Miss Brooke, to come up, and I want to share a little bit of an interview and some thoughts today from some real moms who are going through the faith journey and trying to learn the difference between Mary and Martha and walk through that themselves, and allow them to kind of share from their hearts today and learn from each other. Thanks, Kara. couple mics. All right. So what we'll do, if we can start off, if you just could each of you introduce yourself and share real quickly maybe something about yourself and like how long you've been coming to the church and a real quick nutshell of your salvation, how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, hi, I'm Brooke Velp, and I've been attending church here for about 5 months, and I really came to know the Lord. I had a bad horseback riding accident in Bryce Canyon when a horse fell on top of me, and they couldn't get it off, and I would look this way, and I would see his back hooves were here, and his front hooves were here, and it took about 20 minutes for them to get the horse off of me, and I began questioning my eternity, and so I started praying, and God led me to a strong Bible-believing church where I learned to follow him and to love him and to have a personal relationship with him.
Amen. And you've been, how long have you been coming to Severna Park?
5 months.
Cool. And your husband is?
My husband is Bill. He's back there in the purple.
All right.
Go Ravens.
Any children? Go Ravens. Oh, man. How many? Here we start. How many children do you have?
I have 2 children. My daughter, Corinne, is going to be 18 soon. She's graduating from high school soon. And my son, Jacob, is right there.
Amen. All right.
Okay. I'm Stephanie Villaforte, and my family and I, we've been coming here almost 2 years now. I guess in August it'll be 2 years. And I guess a little bit about how I came to know the Lord. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, we moved, and I became really close friends with a neighbor girl, and she invited me to her church, and they actually were having an Awana program. So I was going to that and just really loved it, and I remember them talking about God and salvation and this prayer, and I didn't really understand all of it, but I wanted to pray. So I told my parents about it, and, you know, my mom and my parents were Catholic at the time, but my mom was like, well, you know, she came and kind of checked out what we were doing, and she really didn't have an objection, so I prayed. But it really wasn't until I was in middle school that I started to understand what it meant to have a relationship with God and, you know, really making it your own and loving him and living for him. So I would say that that's when I really understood and I began my journey and walk with him.
Mm, cool. And children? Just for those who don't know.
Sure. We have 2 girls, Michaela, who's going to be 6, and Leilana, who's going to be 8 months.
Very cool. And my bride, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Danielle, and obviously I'm the only one up here without notes. I think Dave explained that already. So that's my personality. When I was 5, the parents of the dad of the girl who lived next door passed away, and I was asking my parents questions about eternity and what happened when people died, and I accepted Christ then, but I remember when I was in middle school, I was doing some youth group stuff, and I was studying some scripture, and I realized that it actually had to make a difference in my life and how I was living at the time, that if I had a relationship with Jesus that didn't impact me, it wasn't really a relationship, and my attitudes needed to change, my focus needed to change, and I remember doing that at 12 and then getting baptized. That's how I came to know Christ, and y'all know we have 4 girls. They're 5, 4 now. I almost said 3. She's 4. She turned 4 yesterday. 2 in almost 6 months.
All right. So we're going to get to Mary and Martha in a second, but part of the gift for ladies today was a journal for the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so I know that just spitted those out real shotgun quickly, but when you think about those sort of virtues, how do you think about those things? Of how do you cultivate those fruits of the Spirit? How has it worked for you to try to cultivate some of those sorts of things as being a woman, being a mother, and those sorts of things in your life?
Well, I would say that you want to find people around you that exhibit those gifts and try to spend time with them, seek them out. If you think about right now the most godly person that you know, and then try to spend time with them, and even more so, spending time with him And that's in your daily devotions and in your prayer life, spending more and more time with him. We're created in God's image, and so we are to reflect God's glory in that way, and the fruits of the Spirit can be cultivated by spending time with him, with the Creator himself.
Mm. Anybody else?
The biggest thing that popped out to me was prayer, because, you know, when you ask God into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes into you, so the fruits of the Spirit are there. It's just a matter of tapping into them and, you know, letting them be a part of who you are as opposed to who we are without God. Mm-hmm. And so the only way we can do that is to ask God to help us, because other than that, we'll be doing the total opposite. And of course, you made a good point about, you know, being around people that have those same desires, because then it's going to help you, you know, it's going to encourage you to do those things as well.
Yeah, it's so important.
I think that also God has this wonderful way of giving you marriage and children to show you really good things, but it also, like Dave said, it's a mirror, and it kind of shows you where you fall short pretty quickly. And I think a big part of it is being honest that you can't handle it, that it's not all going to, you're not going to be perfect, and as moms and women, a lot of times we'll try to overcompensate for our shortcomings, and instead of asking for help, we'll try to like just plow through it and you know, somehow make it to the other side, when I think a lot of times we just need to stop and realize that, you know, God's pointing things out to us, and the more that we pay attention to who he is and the more time we spend with him, the more we're going to realize what we need in our life, and then his grace that covers over all those shortcomings and that can help us actually rise above a situation instead of trying to just knock our way through it.
Which out of all the fruits, which pick one that stands out to you, whether it's a challenge to you or it's something, it's a favorite one that you're, that you just feel like you're just drawn to the most. Share out of all the different ones, share one.
Well, I thought my favorite one was love, of course. And oftentimes I'll pray in the morning that God will help me to show his love to the people that I love as well. And but I thought the most challenging one was peace, and this morning's sermon was perfect. Just Philippians 4:6-7. I often have to recite that to myself, like right now in front of a group of people. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a lot in common, because the one that I said was most challenging for me, too, was peace. I'm very task-oriented, and, you know, I want things to be a certain way, and that's when, you know, God and I don't see eye to eye, I guess, if you want to say that.
What about your husband?
We're very different. And really, actually, the book of Philippians I love, because there's so many practical things there, you know, to help you living, and that's a good reminder about, you know, praying and coming to God, because you'll be amazed at the peace that he can give you and how he answers prayer.
I think my favorite one is probably joy. I think that just kind of, really that's kind of what makes things worthwhile, is to be able to enjoy it. My mom always laughed at me. She always said I should pray for patience because she knew it was going to happen. And then we had four girls, and she thought that was really funny. So patience is always one of, probably for me, the hardest one for me to get to.
Mm. All right. So fruits of spirit. And so encourage the ladies to utilize those journals and share, obviously implement a lot of the things that you ladies were sharing. Let's turn to Mary and Martha. Okay. And so I know you're smiling at me, and so I know where this is going, but, what do you think these ladies can learn from each other? Which do you identify with more, and kind of share maybe why and some of the things that you've learned about the Mary and Martha in you?
Well, I'm obviously a Martha. I have everything written down. but I think one of the things that I've learned about being a Martha is that for me personally, I have to schedule my Mary time. And so I make sure that my to-do list takes up a large portion of my brain, so I have to put number one to-do as spending time with my Savior. And so you might laugh, it's pretty early in the morning, but 5 o'clock in the morning, I try to open up God's Word and spend time with him and spend time praying. And so that's, if I make that my number one priority, I know I can, This sounds crazy, but I can check it off my to-do list and say, okay, I spent time with God. I got it all. I'm on the right track. So.
Well, I definitely identify more with Martha. I'm task-oriented, and, you know, it's funny when you were describing your mom. I'm not all that parts of what you said, but, you know, when people come over, I would find myself in the kitchen cleaning up while everybody else is, you know, laughing and having a good time. And I think, I mean, as of the past couple of years, that's something that I've tried to work on, you know, being more relationship-oriented. And that has a lot to do with my personality. I'm more quiet and shy, and I take time to get to know people. I'm definitely more of a Martha in that way.
I'm clearly a Mary. I think, first, I do want to say I love my mother-in-law. I appreciate her. And, you know, we found that
in case she listens to this on the audio, right.
She knows it because she and I get along really well because we are opposite. So I appreciate her gifts and she appreciates my gifts and we just have a good time together. So, you know, I think I had heard once somewhere in college somebody said the tyranny of the urgent. And I think that's the problem with a Mary kind of life is that you're always kind of putting out fires because you haven't planned ahead to avoid the fire. So I think that especially just in my daily life, I've been trying to learn, and I think with the girls, God's given me the girls to teach me a lot, but I do stuff. Like, I get up 2 hours before we have to go somewhere so that I can get everybody up, and I have to. And I think God's been teaching me in my life that I need to start prioritizing more things, and I have to start prioritizing Him, because I can get through a whole day and realize, man, I prayed about everything that was happening, but I didn't actually take time to pray just thinking about what could be happening instead of just praying about what was happening at the moment. Like, I didn't have time to prepare in prayer. I didn't have time to listen. I was so busy putting out fires that it was just all day of running around. So for a Mary lifestyle, that's the thing to learn from Martha, is that the planning is going to make the difference in how you actually get to accomplish things.
So this kind of question I kind of gave to you, but I might phrase it differently. So
Martha's are freaking out.
No, so each of you talked about spending time with the Lord and how that is obviously something that sustains you. And so I think for the congregation, I think we all know, like, okay, but how has that actually worked and progressed into your daily schedule? I mean, for you, Brooke, you said that you put it on your calendar. It's 5 o'clock every kind of day, and it's something there, and so that's a big part of the how. But could you help people out there, you know, who are also trying to think this through about the how that's done, about spending time with the Lord, maybe some things that you've learned in your life that could be encouragement to somebody out there?
One of the things that really helped me is I bought a Bible that actually helped me read it through. I can't remember. It's on the pew back there, but I can't remember what it's called. You could ask me afterwards if you want, but it gives you a day so that you read through the Bible in a year and you can actually check off that day. And so, again, there's the Martha checking off thing. But so that was very helpful to me. And also, we schedule a family devotion time. Hmm. My husband's been spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania recently over the last year and a half. And so we Skype with him in the morning. We've realized that we have to do family devotions in the morning. And we'll read God's word, and we will ask each other prayer requests, and we'll pray together. And just recently, we've been playing the guitar and singing some praise songs as well. Hmm. So we make sure to do that in the morning because we have sports, and my daughter's doing tutoring. And so if we try to do it at night, it kind of just gets lost in the shuffle.
So you do that, you and Bill, do you do that with the kids?
Yes. Or,
yeah, okay. Yes. So as a family, you're Skyping. And
6:30 every weekday morning, we're Skyping together and praying together.
Okay.
Well, for me, because I enjoy doing stuff throughout the day that probably isn't important, like cleaning and stuff like that, instead of, you know, spending time with God, I have to say that in the morning I have to be intentional about getting up, and probably before Leilana does, and spending time with God, or else my day is just going to go, you know, checking off stuff for other things. So I would say that maybe 50% of the time that works out. And other time it's like, oh, I need to spend time with God, you know, in the middle of the day. And sometimes I'm able to do that. But, you know, I really have to be intentional about, you know, scheduling that time or else it's just going to fly by. But one of the things that we've been doing as a family is, you know, we usually do prayer time together at night, like before we put Michaela to bed. And one of the things we do is we have a board now so that we can visually see it. And it's so cool because, you know, Kayla will come and she'll say, oh, I have a prayer request that we can put up there. And, you know, what we'll do is we'll remove it if we've heard that that prayer has been answered or whatever. But it's neat because it also helps us take our focus off. Like, I was finding our prayers were just so centered around, like, our immediate family and what was going on, as opposed to other people and the needs that they have. You know, so that's something that we've been doing.
So, like, and making a part of standard cork board, pin up prayer requests, and you pray as a family. Cool. Okay.
I think one of the things about being, I'm not really ADD, but it's slightly, like, things will pop in my head during the day. And one of the things that I've realized is a lot of times that's God telling me something, like somebody will pop in my head to pray for. And because I guess it's just the way that I live my life. It's funny when I drive, that's what happens most of the time is I'll be praying just random prayer thoughts. And it's funny because I'm not as good at setting the scheduled times, which I have to do because you have to be in the scripture and I have to focus on that and really do that effort. But also I think between the girls and just the prayer time, it's really my relationship with God has changed because I've been experiencing a lot more peace. Because I don't worry about things. If it pops into my head, I know I need to pray about it, and then I can let it go. Which, for me, it helps a lot because it doesn't keep that back of your head like the, I don't know how to explain it, but you don't have that anxiety that kind of hangs with you. It's like, all right, Lord, need to pray about that, and then it's okay, and I can keep going on my day. And that's something for me that's really kind of strengthened my walk with Him because I'm able to say, it may not be what I want, but it's what You want, and I'm going to be okay with what You want. So that's something that in my prayer life has really worked for me.
So like a quick response and just kind of immediate thing. You're learning to turn that back to into prayer. Instead of a problem, you turn it into a prayer.
And not hanging on to it. That's right. The other thing is I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll pray for that later. I'm doing something, I'll pray for that later. I don't hang on to it because if God laid it on my heart, then that's when I need to deal with it
for
me.
Sure. So lastly, so Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you know, you're worried about so much, but only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is necessary. So just as a parting thought, what kind of one thing would you want to try to encourage other ladies, other moms out there? What kind of one thing would you just kind of want as a parting thought for them about the Lord and the difference between Mary and Martha and that sort of thing? What one thing would you want to share and communicate out there?
Well, the one thing that is needed for me personally is I need to reflect on some of the verses about my value in Christ and just knowing that I am a daughter of the King and that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Because I think sometimes for me, my head gets so filled with self, I guess, negative thoughts about myself that I need to kind of refresh my mind in how I am valuable and I am worthy. And then once I can kind of get there in my mind, I'm able to lay down my heart in front of the King. And so just that one thing that is needed and necessary for me is just to meditate on I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and thinking about that if I were the only person that ever lived, that Jesus would have died for me. And that's how deeply He loves me. And then once I realize my value, I can go to Him and lay down my heart before Him. And I can listen for Him speaking back to me as well.
Well, I'm a worrier. I worry a lot about a lot of things. Actually, what's really great is my husband's the opposite. So I think in that sense, you know, it helps balance out. But one of the things that I'm learning is, you know, when things come to mind that I'm worried about is just stopping at that moment and just praying about it to God. And what's cool about it is I've seen how, you know, God has somehow provided guidance or wisdom, whether it's something that I pick something up and I'm reading something and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I was worrying about. And here it is, God telling me something, or somebody calls me or whatever it is. You know, so if you worry a lot, just stop and pray. Just take the time to be still and pray no matter what you're doing, because you'd be surprised how worthwhile it is to just stop and pray.
I think for me, one thing that when I get caught up in just the busyness of daily life is sometimes I don't prioritize those relationships. Like Brooke was saying, that you have to, I tell Dave sometimes it's a sanity check. Like sometimes you're so busy in your life as a mom and as a wife and stuff, you do things and you're like, am I just nuts? Is anybody else out there like going through this crazy whatever you're going through? The girls provide me with a lot of material for that right now. And to be able to just stop and talk to somebody and be like, you know, pray for me about this, or what did you do here? Like, how do you fix this? Or, and that's the reason that, you know, we're in a community, we're in a church, we have families, because that's what it's for. That's what we're supposed to be for each other. And sometimes I forget to make those appointments to spend time with people or to make those relationships a priority because there's so many other demands on my time. And I think that's something that I've been learning, especially in the last year, that that's really important.
Thank you, ladies. Could you guys give them a round of applause?